بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله الأمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We're still discussing the chapter that deals with طهارة. طهارة meaning purification. And the types of طهارة are two: to uplift the moral state of impurity, whether major or minor, by ghusl or by wudu, and to remove the impurity that is physical, such as urine, defecation, blood, etc. And now we move on to hadith number 6 and hadith number 7. So who would volunteer to read it, please, brother?
Narrated Abu Huraira radhiyallahu anhu, Allah's Apostle sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if a dog drinks from the utensil of any one of you, it is essential to wash it 7 times. And in another version from Muslim, using sand for the first time. Sahih Muslim, Book 2, Hadith number 0549. Hadith number 7, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Mughaffal, who reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when the dog licks the utensil, wash it 7 times and rub it with earth the 8th time.
Okay, this hadith clearly is about the impurity of a dog and not about his urine and defecation. Actually, it is limited in licking, using his tongue, using his mouth from a utensil, from a plate, from a pot, and what to do in that. Now, before going into this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ divided impurity into 3 types. Not in a specific hadith, but by reading the whole hadiths, we learn that impurities, najasa, is divided into 3 types: maximum, medium, and minimum. So, what do you think the dog's licking is from these 3 categories? It's a maximum. Why? Because it is not sufficient to wash it once or twice. You have to wash it 7 times. And one of these times, or the 8th time, has to be with soil, with sand, with something from the ground. And this indicates that it has the highest degree of impurity. The medium, or the middle part of impurity, is when normal impurities touch our bodies or our clothes. What to do? What do we have to do? Wash it once, depending on how much we take to clean it. So maybe I wash it once, maybe twice, maybe 3 times. Usually, once or twice would do. And not necessarily that the trace or the color is gone. Sometimes the color does not go. Sometimes you have a stain of impurity, you wash it 10 times, the color remains. Yet once or twice is enough, because the actual impurity is gone, all what remains is the stain, and this is okay. So the majority of impurities are like this. You wash them, alhamdulillah. The 3rd type of impurity is known as the minimal type. Give me an example. Think hard. Yes.
Dry?
Yeah, no. Dry is also considered to be an impurity that has to be washed. No, you have to wash it. If you have a drop of urine and it dried, the stain is there, the smell is there, I'm not gonna taste it. So what do? I have to wash it. So this is medium type of impurity. What is the minimal type of purity? I'll give you an example. Madhi, or what's known as prosthetic fluid, it's the discharge that takes place when an intimacy takes place, when a man is excited, he gets this discharge. It's not semen, but he did not ejaculate, it's just a discharge. This is minimal impurity. What to do? Sprinkle the clothes, it's enough. You don't have to wash it. And sprinkle your private parts, that's it. That's all? That's all. Any other example? Yes. I have a baby boy, 6 months old. And I have a baby girl, 6 months old. If the girl urinates on my clothes, I have to wash it. If the boy urinates on my clothes, I sprinkle it. I don't wash it. Why? Discrimination. You always love men and women. No. It's not. It has nothing to do with discrimination. This is the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah created both men and women. And He does not discriminate, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there is something we do not understand. And we have to believe in it and do it as we can. And this, inshallah, would come later on. So, this is it. Maximum, middle, and minimum. Now, the Prophet tells us that whenever a dog licks in utensils or a dish, in another narration, you have to get rid of the whole food or the whole drink. It's undrinkable. And then you have to wash it. Once with soil, and the scholars say that it is recommended to have it in the first one, because it would not be logical to wash it 7 times with water, and the 8th time you put soil. And then what? Then I have to put another 9th one to clean it. No, do it in the first. Why? Scholars differed. To me and you, as Muslims, we don't care. The Prophet told us, halas. Why do I have to look for a justification for everything? What's the difference between me and other religions? The difference is that I comply. I am a Muslim. I submit my will to Allah. Allah tells me do this, I do it without any questions asked. And that is why when Allah revealed the 3rd ayah from the bottom of Surah Al-Baqarah, لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, to Allah belongs whatever is in the heavens and the earth. وَإِن تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبْكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. If you conceal what's inside of you or reveal it, Allah will hold you accountable. Even what goes inside. The companions came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, O Prophet of Allah, we prayed, we were told to fast and we fasted, we were told to make jihad and we did this, everything we are able to do, but this we cannot. How can we control our thoughts if Allah is going to hold us accountable for? Allah, this is too much for us. So the Prophet was angered and said, do you want to do similar to what the Jews did when they said, we've heard and disobeyed? Say, we hear and we obey. Immediately the companions fell on their knees and said, by Allah, we hear, we listen, and we obey. And then Allah revealed the 2 verses, the last 2 verses of the Quran, where He exempted us from whatever we think of. So, as Muslims, we don't ask, why is gold haram for men and not for women? And we tell our sisters, now you're not saying segregation, huh? You can wear gold, I cannot wear gold. You can wear silk, I cannot wear silk. Now it's no segregation, it's okay. Subhanallah. So, you're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to say, why is this and why is that? However, if this takes place, if you manage to find the reason and the wisdom and the justification, this adds value to you. So, if someone says, intoxicants is haram. I said, yes. Why? I will have even the non-Muslims telling me, yes, because when you're drunk, you make awful things. It was reported that a man in the Jahiliyyah or in the Islamic era, he wasn't practicing. He drank once and then he left drinking. Why? He said, because people told him, when you were drunk, you urinated in a pot and you washed your face and said, oh Allah, make me among the tawabin and among al-mutatahirin. Make me among those who repent and among those who purify themselves. This is what we say after wudu. He got drunk. So he urinated and washed his face. After he was sober and they told him, he said, by Allah, I will never drink again. So you will find a lot of non-Muslims telling you, yes, getting drunk is bad because 1, 2, 3, 10. So you're satisfied. About pork. Pork is forbidden. As a Muslim, I could care less. It's forbidden, end of story. Someone say, yeah, we have scientists said that there is a worm in it. They say that the genes, they say that something affects the nature of the human, so and so and so. It's bad. It's mentioned in the Bible. It's forbidden. It's mentioned in the Quran. It's forbidden. So, okay. However, this methodology may affect you negatively. Why? You will manage to find 95% justification for everything in Islam. But then Shaitan will bring up to you the 5% remaining, which you cannot justify. And then he will tell you, if 95 I justified, these 5 is definitely not from Islam, and you reject it. And by rejecting it, you're rejecting the deen. No, you follow, regardless of the reason behind that. We have a break. Just stay tuned, and inshallah, we'll be right back.